conference call in which the Executive Vice Chairman and CEO of Pirelli & Co., Mr. Marco Tronchetti Provera, will present Pirelli's financial results for the 9 months 2017. I remind you that the Q&A session will follow after the presentation. Moreover, a live webcast of the event and the presentation slides are available in the Investor Relations section of the Pirelli website. Now, I would like to introduce Mr. Marco Tronchetti Provera. Please go ahead, sir.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for attending this conference call, which is our first after the IPO. We are back in the financial market as a global consumer tire company, focused on high value, with a governance keeping abreast of the best international practices. We proactively apply the best international standards to protect the interests of minorities and underline the independence of the board, as set forth in our bylaws. As a global high-value player, we are well-placed in an attractive market, which is expected to outgrow the standard market 4 times on the long run, being linked to the dynamics of the prestige and premium car park. We belong to a healthy sector with high barriers to entry, namely technology for the continuous requirements of innovation from our clients, brand, a key differentiating factor for the engagement of the financial customers. There is a tight supply and demand for high-value products with no overcapacity risk, and this should support pricing power. Our strategy is based on 3 key pillars, a focus on high-value, particularly in Europe, APEC, and NAFTA, a digital-enabled transformation program along our value chain, and the reduction of our exposure to the standard segment. This strategy is already bearing fruits, giving us an edge over full-liners, allowing for a strong growth both in the top line and profitability. Indeed, our distinctive positioning in high-value is clearly visible in our 9 months results, where high-value is gaining weight. Our price mix trend is once again at the top of the industry, twice the average of our peers, as a result of successful shift to the very high end of the market and a sound pricing policy. This was one of the main drivers of our performance. Our outlook for 2017 is consistent with what is envisaged in the plan. A strengthening on high value, which will account for 83% of the EBIT adjusted before startup cost, where the 2020 target is 85. A gradual deleveraging, which will bring the net financial position to a EBITDA ratio below 3 times. And here, the 2020 target is below 2. Before diving into the numbers, please let me give you a brief recap of the Pirelli strategy. We started our journey focusing on premium, defined as the tires with rim sizes equal or over 17 inches. In 2016, this means 65% of our revenues. More recently, we redefined our definition of premium to focus on a narrower and more exciting market, which we call high value. Our strategy is now focused on high value, which encompasses the whole consumer business. In car, high value means the market for tires fitted by prestige car brands, plus new premium tires, 18 inches and above, plus specialties like ram flat or noise cancelling or seal inside, and super specialties like colored. Specialties may have smaller rim sizes, but are very challenging to make and command high margin, for instance, ram flat homologated on BMW smaller sizes. In motorbikes, high value consists in all radial plus cross-ply tires with a speed index equal or higher than H. High value revenues, so defined, are 55% of 2016 consumer revenues. In the future, all businesses, including New Cyber and Velo, will be focused on the high value consumer market space. Our 2020 target is to bring high value revenues weight over the total to around 63%. An average yearly increase of 2 percentage points. This year, high value weight will be already be more than 57%. The next slide, we have positioned ourselves in the right portion of the market. The 18 inches and above segment has grown and will be growing faster, 4 times the standard market by 2020. The 2017 market outlook is confirming this trend that 18 inches and above market will grow at about plus 10.2% versus plus 1.4% on 18 inches, 17 inches and below. Car park evolution is one of the key elements supporting this growth. Premium prestige cars on the road will be around 154 million in 2020, compared to 129 million in 2016 and around 135 million in 2017. Other important trends I wish to mention, which are all supporting growth and entry barriers to upper part of the market, are the increasing demand of homologations and specialties from car manufacturers and end users. The success of SUVs and CUVs, typically fitting large rim sizes. And new technologies related to connected electric, shared and autonomous cars, or demanding specific and highly technological tire solution, developed hand in hand with car manufacturers. Next, the overall high-value market is important, but is also currently concentrated in three regions, where Pirelli is very well rooted: Europe, APEC, and NAFTA. Prestige and premium car park is expected to reach 154 million cars in 2020, of which 93% in these three regions, growing with a 4.6% average growth rate in the period. Growth for the end of 2017 is expected in line with the average growth per year that we see in our plan. In terms of new premium, the tire market, including original equipment and replacement, will total around 280 million pieces in 2020, growing 9% year on year on average, with a 95% concentration in these three regions. During the first 9 months of this year, new premium tire market grew by 11%, while Pirelli volumes grew at a much faster pace of 15%. As planned, Pirelli is gaining shares, and we expect to continue outpacing the market in the next years. Moving to slide 7, as briefly introduced before, Pirelli is executing its strategy based on three pillars. Let's have a quick look at them one by one. First pillar, the focal point is high value. The foundation of our business are based on 4 strategic levers: original equipment homologation portfolio, new product innovation, shifting car capacity towards high value, a consumer-centric approach. Our model can be summarized as follows. We develop high-performance products, products that are mounted on prestige and premium cars, cars that are bought by premium consumers, typically high spenders, whom we follow during their entire journey, offering products and services for tire replacement when and where needed. We manage the entire process based on a consistent and focused value chain that is fed by the inputs from the automotive industry. Indeed, we have visibility of future demand through new car registrations, registrations that are the basis for tire demand in the original equipment channel and are captured through homologations. Level one, the homologation, more than 50% of the original equipment sales, and more important, more than 60% of replacement sales for the next 3 years of the plan come from products with homologations and shares already acquired. In the first year of the plan, the visibility is higher considering the high loyalty rate. Therefore, over 70% of our retail sales in 2018 are linked to the past homologations. In the last 5 years, we doubled our yearly average of homologations, reaching a portfolio of more than 2,050 high-value homologations, of which 86% marked tires. Between now and 2020, we are developing more than 1,150 projects. During the first 9 months of the year, we have been able to achieve around 230 new high-value homologations, more than 90% marked, 1 out of 5 for prestige cars, 1 out of 4 winter products. We also homologated tires for electric vehicles of our premium and prestige partners. Level two, new product innovation. As far as new product innovation, 18 new product lines are in the pipeline to 2020, covering global and regional lines, specialties and traditional, winter, all-season and summer tires. New launches will strengthen our product range, our brand, and support our pricing strategy. During this year, we already launched two regional lines for the Americas, like the Scorpio Strada all-season and SUV product for the North American clients, and the new Scorpio ATR Plus, a pickup product for both North and South America. We unveiled that we think is the future of our industry, the smart tire. I'm glad to share with you that Conesso will be available at our P0 World in LA starting from this month for our prestige clients. Car manufacturing interest in color edition tires is rising. We are now discussing with them on how to partner for their bespoke programs. And we are receiving very positive feedbacks from the market on the comeback into bicycle tires after the P0 Velo commercial launch in third quarter 2017. Level 3, shifting car capacity towards high value. To meet high value demand, Pirelli has designed its capacity with a vision into the future. According to our business plan, car capacity will go from a total 71 million pieces in 2016, with 38 million high value or 54% of total car tires, to 79 million pieces in 2020, with 53 million high value or 67% of total car tires. We will make investment to increase high value capacity by over 14 million pieces, of which 11 million pieces of new high value capacity, and over 3 million pieces from standard conversion into high value. In 2017, we expect to add 3 million out of 14 million pieces already included in the plan. Level 4, a consumer-centric approach. The fourth strategic level is based on a consumer-centric approach. We have created a dedicated consumer marketing unit active on both dealer and consumer engagement to further develop this approach. In our business plan, a strong growth is envisaged in distribution. Within the categories, we have better cooperation, where a better cooperation can increase value for Pirelli brand through an improvement of demand and price control. In particular, the car dealer channel, the strongest link with our prestige and premium car owners, where Pirelli is overweight versus the market, is expected to grow from 10 to 15% by 2020. Tier 1 distributors, a selected group of partners sharing to our long-term commercial strategy and product positioning, will grow in weight from 9 to 20% by 2020. Pirelli branded shops, from the P0 World flagship stores to retail networks under the logos of Driver or the IKEA Nordics, will go from 12,500 in 2016 to 17,000 in 2020. In the first 9 months of 2017, we added over 1,000 Pirelli branded shops. We opened the first European P0 World store in Munich, one of the top 10 cities in the world in terms of prestige car density. The shop is already a benchmark for end-user engagement and relationship management excellence. E-commerce will be close to 1% by 2020 when we look at direct Pirelli brand e-commerce only. However, we expect that 10% of consumers will buy Pirelli tires online by 2020. That's why our online strategy will include the development of e-commerce for our retail network and a consolidation of partnership with the best online e-tailers. Let us now focus on our second pillar, the transformation program. We have selected 4 projects chosen for their cross-functional nature. Integrated forecasting is the first. We are applying predictive models to vehicle lifecycle and vehicle park data, integrating OE homologation and replacement tire dynamics to better forecast demand and optimize investments and stocks along the whole value chain. Second, smart manufacturing and flexible factory. IoT data from process machinery is feeding applications aimed at improving process and labor productivity, as well as finished product yield. This program, together with additional initiatives such as decomplexity and design to cost, are producing their first results already in 2017 economics, with 1% efficiencies on sales. Third, prestige is the most demanding segment of high-value market. All the key levels of the prestige value chain have been united in a specific global business unit, also as a source for many best practices. Fourth, supply chain. We are designing 5 supply chains better addressing customer and consumer segment, capitalizing on great integration and digital tools, super specialties and consumer e-commerce, Prestige P0 World Network, Premium Prestige OEMs, Tier 1 distributors, rest of aftermarket. These are the five supply chains. Now moving to our last pillar, to conclude the pillar strategy recap, the company is reducing its exposure to standard while keeping its assortment in line with client expectations and trimming less profitable products. Over the next few years, we reduce our standard capacity from 33 million tires in 2016 by more than 20%, reaching 26 million tires at the end of 2020. Most of the reduction is concentrated in Latam, MEAI, and Russia. It is consistent with the pruning on unprofitable customers or C-brands products. We are reducing more than 2 million tire standard capacity in those regions before the end of 2017, while upgrading Eolus capacity into Pirelli products in APEC. This reduction needs to be combined with a strengthening of our standard product positioning. After the first 9 months of this year, we see that our phase-out plan for low profitable products is underway at a faster speed than expected, especially with legacy brands such as Amten in Russia. Profitability recovery is also producing its benefits. The 2017 9 months Russian EBIT adjusted margin is now positive and low teens. Going to results, the results of the first 9 months of this year reflect the strategy and the program I have just described. A solid 9% top-line growth driven by the strengthening of our position in the high-value segment, which accounts for 58% of revenues, 2 percentage points against the same, plus 2 percentage points against the same period last year. A top price mix in the industry, plus 6.5%, more than twice our peers' average, equal to 3, resulting from both mix improvement and the price increases put in place starting from April 1st. Profitability grew by 10% with an EBIT margin adjusted before startup costs, reaching around 17% in the first 9 months, and 17.6% in the third quarter. The profitability improvement was based on the quality drivers of the top line and the delivery of our efficiency program, 1% on sales, in line with 2017-2020 strategic plan. The net income adjusted, for instance, net of all the one-off and non-recurring items, Mr. Sala will talk about them later, double with a 6.4% ratio over sales as a result of the improvement in the operating performance and of our action in the financial and fiscal areas. Net financial position to EBITDA ratio of 3.7 times as against 4.6 times at the end of 2016, benefiting from the capital increase subscribed by Banco Poli at the end of June. Net financial position to EBITDA ratio is expected to get down below 3 times at the end of 2017. Let's move to the regional performance, starting from high-value regions, namely Europe, NAFTA, and APEC, which account for 76% of total revenues, 92% of the high-value turnover. In Europe, we consolidated our leadership in the prestige segment, and more generally in the 18 inches and up, gaining in the first 9 months almost 1 percentage point in both original equipment and replacement channels, accelerating in third quarter. Our past investment into strengthening our partnership with prestige and premium car manufacturers continue bearing these fruits through an increased pull-through effect. At the same time, in line with the business plan, we are reducing our exposure to the standard segment, especially in third quarter, and lower rims, 16 inches and below, characterized by lower profitability. As of today, the weight of standard Consigli 16 inches and below on our total volumes is almost half of the market average in Europe. As a consequence, we recorded a sound price mix improvement, also benefiting from the progressive implementation of the price increase announced on April 1st. In AFTA, we recorded a sound performance with a 9% top-line growth, both in the first 9 months and in third quarter, excluding Forex impact, which was negative in the third quarter. We were performing a new premium replacement market, leveraging on the launch of new products such as Scorpion Verde or Season Plus, an increased penetration on Pirelli retail point of sales, and improved service level benefiting from LATAM imports, plus 9% year-on-year on the growth of volumes imported from LATAM. We recently appointed preferred partner for Mercedes-Benz after sales type program in the Americas, means Canada, USA, Mexico, and Brazil. In the APAC, the region which is growing the most, we recorded our best performance, plus 17.9% in total sales, with the support of high-value segment. Due to the increase of market exposure to the original equipment channel, we added new homologations with European local car brands and expanded our commercial presence in the region, reaching 4,000 points of sale. In the new premium segment, we increased our market share in the replacement channel by almost 2 percentage points in the first 9 months, leveraging on the pull-through effect deriving from the strong homologation activity in the last 3 years. Briefly, on standard regions, they account for 24% of our sales and 8% of our high-value revenues, and we were in line with our strategic plan to reduce our exposure to less profitable products. In LATAM, we are maintaining our focus on mix improvement, phasing out products with lower rim size, and reducing our exposure in the low-value OE contracts. We are accelerating the conversion of our Brazilian plants, Bahia and Campinas, to high-value production to better serve the North American market and be ready to exploit further opportunities arising in the region. In MEAI, despite an overall market scenario slowing down compared with 2016, we have increased our high-value sales by 21%, which now account for more than 50% of the regional sales. This has been done through a commercial performance driven by careful channel mix management and outperforming the market. Most of the growth has occurred in Turkey and the Gulf countries, that occurred for about 70% of our sales in the high-value segments in the region. Finally, in Russia, we have strictly followed our value map approach, accelerating the discontinuation of legacy brands such as Amtel, limiting the imports of less profitable products, and concentrating our efforts on more profitable products, both for the local market and for the exports. This move, combined with an efficiency program, led to a significant profitability improvement. So, all of that said, I now leave the floor to Mr. Maurizio Sala, who will comment on financial results in detail.
Thank you, Mr. Sala. Mr. Tronchetti, and good afternoon, everybody. In the first 9 months of 2017, sales grew by 9% or 7.7% before Forex impact and Eulus car consolidation. The analysis of the organic performance by quarter shows a double-digit high-value volume growth, gaining momentum in the third quarter after a second quarter affected by the pre-buy impact in view of the announced price increases to counteract the increase of the raw materials, a gradual reduction of the exposure to the standard segment, 5% drop in volumes in the first 9 months, minus 5.8% in the third quarter, with the phasing out of the less profitable range and products in South America, in Russia, in MEAI, and in Europe, mainly low rim sizes, and an accelerated discontinuation of legacy brands in Russia, and the resulting price mix improvement reached its highest level, plus 7.3% in the third quarter, reflecting the impact of the price increases made from April. The quality of our top-line drivers translated into a profitability improvement in the first 9 months of the year, with an acceleration in the third quarter. EBIT margin before startup costs reached 17.6%, 1.4 percentage points more against the third quarter of 2016. The profitability improvements, both in the first 9 months and in the third quarter, plus 10% was the growth of our EBIT adjusted without startup costs in the first 9 months and plus 15% in the third quarter, were driven by our internal levers, namely price mix, efficiencies, and volumes, that altogether more than offset raw materials headwind, inflation, and the increase of D&A and other costs related to the development of high value. In particular, the strong price mix improvement covered 1.5 times raw materials headwind in the first 9 months and almost twice in third quarter. Cost inflation was counterbalanced by efficiency gains, most related to some of the mentioned transformation programs and linked to manufacturing and product activities, such as raw material cost optimization and reduction of tire weight, increase of production in low-cost countries, improvement of productivity and processes streamlining, energy and other costs optimization. Finally, just a brief comment on the limited forex impact on EBIT, which shows how we are more balanced on forex than with the previous perimeter, being naturally hedged, in particular in the euro-dollar exchange rate. Net income before discontinued operations recorded a strong improvement resulting from our solid operating performance combined with the improvement of the results from equity participations, with lower losses from Prelios and lower impact from devaluations, lower net financial charges as a result of credit facility refinancing worth 4.2 billion euro, granted by a pool of around 20 banks, entered into at the end of June 2017 with positive impact starting from third quarter, and a lower tax rate, 14.5% in the first 9 months of 2017, against 67% in the same period of 2016, benefiting from the one-off booking of deferred tax assets on tax losses and on other timing differences, including the allowance for corporate equity and incentive related to capital increases. At the same time, we have filed an application for the patent box regime, the Italian tax relief on income derived from the use of intangible assets. The consolidated average tax rate before tax incentives for the period 2017-20 is estimated to be approximately 34%. Allowance for corporate equity and patent box incentives are estimated to be of around 6 percentage points. Therefore, the indicative consolidated average tax rate for the period results to be below 30%. Normalizing the trend from all the one-off and non-recurring items affecting the EBIT, as well as financial and tax expenses, net income adjusted amounted to 257 million euro, or 6.4% of revenues, almost twice the value recorded in the first 9 months of 2016. Let's now move to reviewing our net financial position trend in the first 9 months of 2017, which was 4.3 billion euro, 625 million euro less than at the end of 2016. The positive trend is the result of the capital increase subscribed by Marco Polo at the end of June. The operating cash flow was negative for 391 million euro in the first 9 months of 2017, minus 198 million euro in the same period of last year. The trend was impacted by a capital expenditure of 328 million euro, plus 106 million compared with the same period of last year, to increase high-value capacity in euro and NAFTA, to implement strategic conversion of standard into high-value production in our Brazilian plants, Campinas and Bahia, to upgrade Eulus plant, and to continuously improve both mix and quality in all our plants. And the cash absorption linked to net working capital, 900 million euro in the first 9 months of 2017, 100 million euro more compared with the same period of 2016 due to higher sales. The net working capital trend is going to revert in the last quarter of the year, mostly as a consequence of higher volumes of collections, especially linked to winter sales in high seasonal regions like Europe and Russia. The seasonal reversal of the net working capital trend expected in the first quarter will translate into a positive trend of the operating cash flow, bringing down the net financial position to EBITDA ratio below 3 times. And finally, on capital structures, Pirelli's gross debt is worth approximately 4.8 billion euro. Due to the end of June refinancing of our main bank facilities for a total amount of 4.2 billion euro, We have extended the average life of our debt to 3 years from 2 years, and 73% of our debt is now due beyond 2019. Cost of debt stands at 5.5%, down from 6.2% last year, benefiting from the reduced all-in cost of the new syndicated facility in the last 3 months only. Our exposure to low-cost countries with high cost of money affects our cost of debt through local financing and infragroup loans, as we fully hedge them out of any forex risk. And at the end of September 2017, approximately 17% of our average gross debt was in high-yield countries such as Russia, Mexico, Brazil, Argentina, and Turkey, with interest rates averagely higher than 10%. For the years covered by the plan, an approximately 5% of cost of debt is expected. This forecast is based on a cautious assumption of a general scenario where interest rates increase and credit worsens. And now I leave the floor back up to Mr. Tronchetti for 2017 outlook.
Thank you, Mr. Sala. On the basis of the data for the first 9 months of the year and in line with the 2017-2020 business plan, we forecast for 2017 revenues growth of around 9% with an increased weight of the high-value component, which will account for above 57% of total revenues, was 55% at the end of 2016. Adjusted EBIT before startup costs, non-recurring and restructuring charges is expected at about 930 million, a year-on-year growth of about 10%, with the high-value segment accounting for about 83%, up from 81% at the end of 2016. Adjusted EBIT is expected at about 880 million. The ratio between the net financial position and adjusted EBITDA before startup costs below 3 times, compared with 4.6 times at the end of 2016. CapEx increasing to about 9% of revenues, 6.8% at the end of 2016, as a consequence of increased investments in Romania and Mexico, the upgrade of High Value in Brazil, and the reconversion of Eolus car to Pirelli brand. This is the end of our presentation, and we can now open the Q&A session. Thank you.
Excuse me, this is the conference operator. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. To remove yourself from the question queue, please press star and two. Please pick up the receiver when asking questions. Anyone who has a question may press star and one at this time. The first question is from Kai Mueller with Bank of America Merrill Lynch. Please go ahead.
Hello, thank you very much for your time. I have three questions, if I may. First of all, you've had very strong volume growth, obviously, in your high-value business. You've been saying, you know, the market is developing nicely, and obviously it's going to outgrow, so on the replacement side, 4 times the standard market over the next year. How do you see that developing, and how do you see yourself versus the peer group, especially as others are also going into that space? And on the same point, your price mix at 7.3, obviously, in the third quarter was very strong. Can you give us some color in terms of what's underlying mix effect and, you know, what sort of price action you've been taking and how that flows into next year? Second question on your South American market. You mentioned, you've already started to ship some volumes from South America to the North American market. I remember you mentioned that before. Can you give us a timeline and scale, possibly how big these volumes can become? And is there a big differentiation in terms of the margins you can make, given your lower cost setup out in South America? And on the third point on the cash flow, or generally, you know, the CapEx in particular, you've now said, you know, this year 9% CapEx, you know, a heavy CapEx year in terms of 9% to revenues. Can you give us a little bit of color? You know, you mentioned again the 7% between 17 and 20. How should we see that fade? Are we having a massive ramp up now and then, you know, significantly lower in the outer years? Or what's your understanding in terms of your phasing of that?
Thanks. Thank you. So, looking to our growth in price mix, we see in the third quarter an effect also coming from prices. Prices were, as you know, in the first quarter below the growth of raw material effect, and we see the price effect has been around 2.5% in the third quarter, and the rest is mix. In South America, next year, 25% of our production will be dedicated to export, around 25%. This year, we are still around 15% and growing. CapEx, this year we have an effect of around 100 million coming from the reshaping of the Chinese factory into Pirelli capacity and the two Brazilian factories in Bahia and Campinas. Next year we see the CapEx going down around 7% of our turnover. That's the trend we see, and we should average stay around 7 in the 3 years plan. That means that the last year of the plan should be below 7.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
The next question is from Martino De Ambrogi with Equita SIM. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, everybody. The first question is on the operating leverage, the incremental margin. If you look, if I look at Q3 and the first 9 months, it was 44 and 47% respectively, so much higher than in the old perimeter. Should we take this level as a normal operating leverage for your new perimeter, or has to be slightly lower or higher? Thank you.
It's right, we can keep this as a reference.
Okay, also going forward. And a follow-up on the previous question on the price and mix. I don't know if you are willing to share with us the split in order to have a better idea of the balance between raw material and prices in the first 9 months and maybe going forward.
So the last quarter should see an effect of price mix that will continue, and the effect of raw material should be lower than the first 9 months.
Okay, if I may just one question on the financial cost. So there is no way, I understand, that to have a lower financial cost going forward and apart from the free cash flow generation, and we could multiply by 4 for a normalized full year, the level of financial cost we had in Q3. And a more general question in terms of geographical areas, focusing on margin expansion, what are the most promising geographical areas you see, or on the contrary, the most critical areas for your 2020 business plan? Thank you.
For the financial expenses, average a bit less than in the last quarter, in the third quarter. So for the next year, looking forward, we should see a bit lower. Talking about different areas, we see APAC continue to outperform the other regions. Europe maintain a speed like the one we see, with some increase, but and NAFTA continue to increase. These are the main regions. The trend in Russia and Latin America has become positive, and we will continue to be positive. So we consider this option value.
Okay, thank you.
The next question is from Thomas Besson with Kepler Cheuvreux. Please go ahead. Mr. Besson, your line is open.
Thank you. Can you hear me now?
Yes, perfectly.
Okay, sorry. Two quick questions, please. It's Thomas Besson at Kepler Cheuvreux. The first one is, can you remind us the remaining links that the new perimeter has with the industrial business, please? Because I see that in your discontinued operations, you still have losses that derive, I understand, from your exposure to Egypt, which I think comes from the industrial business. So can you explain us where it comes from exactly and what are the remaining links with industrial, please? Or maybe I misunderstood.
Mr. Salem.
So practically, the result coming from the discontinued operation includes the financial data for the first quarter of 2017 for the industrial business that you may remember that was assigned to Marco Polo only at the end of March. So practically we have all the first quarter results of the industrial business in the result for the discontinued operation. And then we have for the 9 months some residual industrial activities currently undergoing separation. The result was negative by 75 million euro, out of which the ordinary results, net result was positive by 5 million euro, and 80 million was a negative result from the accounting point of view coming from the translation differences of the reserves mature at the date of the assignment, and the most important part was related to the Egypt transition. So what does it mean? It means that for the future period, we have still in our number for a few months the results of China and Argentina for Ruconcept Truck that we are going to separate in terms of activities and without any further problems from this point of view.
By year end will be over.
Okay, very clear. Second, very simple question. Can you give us an idea of your 2017 tax rate, please? Because, I mean, in the first part of the year, it was impacted by some tax losses carry forward. In Q3, for the first 9 months, it was still at 14.5. Where should we put the... should we think that we are going to stay around 15% for 2017, or is it going to be a bit higher than that?
No, we'll be in line 14.5.
Great. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
The next question is from Victoria Greer with Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Afternoon. Two questions, please. One on the working capital. You were clear in the presentation that this is going to be a reversal in Q4. Could you just give us what cash impact you expect from working capital for the full year? So 2016 was about 100 million cash inflow. Is that a reasonable assumption for us to use for full year 17? And then secondly, on the raw materials, at the analyst presentation, you talked about quite a lot of raw material inflation, natural rubber at 220 for 2018, for example. Do you think these are still the right assumptions, looking at how the raw materials have moved over the past 6 months or so? In the next 2-3 years, how would you think about the raw material outlook? Thanks.
So on working capital, the seasonality will be in line with what Mr. Sal already explained. The last quarter we reduced down thanks to the payment on winter season that are made in the last 2 months of the quarter. And the end game will be that the net debt EBITDA ratio will go below 3. On raw materials trend, in our plan we have a 10% increase average in the next 3 years, with a bit less in the end in 2020. So that's the average expectation. We start year end more or less in the same position of 2016, with some increase on Brent and oil in general. So that's the situation. We don't change our view on the future, and we have based our expectation on that figures.
Thank you.
The next question is from Henning Cosman with HSBC. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you. My first question is on the startup costs, seeing that you're including this in your guidance now, which I think is a little bit different from the guidance scope at the analyst presentation. Could you please remind us what startup costs you're budgeting for, ideally for every year between 17 and 2020? That's my first question.
So the startup cost is for this year around 50 million, next year 40, and will be no startup cost in 2019 and 2020. This is what we expect, and we are in line with our expectation.
Okay, great, thank you. And the second question on the mix, maybe. You said that Q3 pricing was 2.5, implying that mix was almost 5. Is that in line with what you're budgeting going forward, or what's your budget again in terms of how much mix you would expect?
Well, we expect to continue with the mix trend in line with what has happened in the last few years. We don't see major changing happening. On prices, it obviously will depend on the trend of raw materials in the future. So for this year, it's clear what is happening and has happened. For next year, we put it in line with the raw material growth expectation. So prices should stick to that balance between raw mat and prices.
Sure. Just on the mix itself, I don't think we actually have the historic breakdown between price and mix. So are you prepared to just to confirm that it's in the region of 4 to 5%?
Yes. Yes, of course.
Great. And finally, on the homologations, I think you gave us a number of 230 as a run rate for the 9 months, which appears to be slightly down versus the full year 2016 number. Can you talk about that a little bit? How important that is for your case? Is it stabilizing now at roughly that level, and that's consistent with your budget? Or are you expecting this to start growing a little bit again?
No. As you have seen, the third quarter has been increasing the number of homologations. We expect the trend continue and to stay over 300 homologations as it was planned.
Okay, so you don't need this number to go up much further to remain consistent with the plan. It's okay if it stabilizes at a number just above 300 for the remaining years of the plan.
Yes, we have already visibility on 1,150 homologation in our pipeline. So we can, let's say, maintain the shape we had and continue this trend.
Perfect. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
The next question is from Monica Bosio with Banca IMI Intesa San Paolo. Please go ahead.
Thanks for taking my question. Good afternoon, everyone. The first question is on the reduction in standard. My feeling is that the group is accelerating the reduction in standards, and this is also the reason why price mix is growing in this sound level, and maybe it's also the reason behind an higher capex. Am I right? Are you accelerating the cut in standard? And if yes, can you give us an indication by year end of the volume slowdown in standard for you? And the second question is on the any potential impact from Forex on the EBIT. Did you have any potential impact? So far, you are not strongly exporting from Brazil to USA, but I'm just wondering if Pirelli had some impact in the third quarter on the EBIT. And the third question is if you can give us an update on the restructuring costs for the full year. Thank you very much.
Thank you. So the standard reduction, we confirm our strategy to continue to reduce 5% per annum, 16 inches and below, with a growth on 17 inches in areas where it is profitable. That is obviously part of the mix improvement we have. The effect on USA from export from Brazil will be enhanced in 2018. It's partially visible in 2016, but I think in second half of 2018 we should see the full exploitation on this. On efficiency and cost reduction, we confirmed this 1% on our turnover by year end. As we mentioned when we presented the plan, we expect in the next year something more coming from digital that should improve productivity and provide us higher efficiencies.
Thank you very much. Just a follow-up. On one side, we have efficiency, and on the other side, we have restructuring costs that, if I remember well, over the 9 months, were in the region of 20 or something similar. Do you have an expectation for the full year in terms of restructuring?
No. We confirmed the 20 million.
Okay, thank you very much.
Plus, obviously, there are the IPO costs and layoff costs.
Yes, for sure. Thank you.
Layoff is what I mentioned, the 20 million. The IPO costs are 70 million.
Yeah, okay, correct. Thank you very much.
The next question is from Gaetan Toulemonde with Deutsche Bank. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, it's Gaetan Toulemonde, Deutsche Bank speaking. I want to come back on the two questions. The first one is on the raw material. Can you give us the magnitude of the headwind you expect in the fourth quarter? I would suspect around a similar number to the third quarter. Is it correct, or it's a little bit less? Can you summarize that a little bit? And regarding 2018, too, because I'm a little bit lost with the previous question on that issue where you mentioned that you expect an increase of raw material next year. I'm not totally sure that I understood that well.
For the headwind on the last quarter, we expect a bit better than what was planned, around 30 million. That is what we expect for next year. We still stick to the 10% increase in raw material prices, which average, which is partially confirmed on oil and Brent side. We see some volatility in natural rubber in these weeks, so we don't have any new, forecast for the next year.
My second question, the last one, is when they look at your standard tires, it looks like that for the first 9 months the volume are down 5% and the revenues are up 4%. Can you explain a little bit the difference? Does that mean that you increase pricing much more on solid tires than on premium? I'm a little bit lost there.
I want to help you.
Thank you.
So, in fact, we have the reduction of 5% on the 16 inches and below, but we have a growth on 17 inches. That is why you see the difference between 5 and 4. Is one is a reduction on 16 inches and below, and partially compensated from the growth. So, if you compare volumes and revenues, you see 5 and 5. 5 the growth, and 5 the volume.
Okay, so that means that the price and mix has been very significant. Is that correct?
Obviously. Yes, it has been, because we cut the 13 inches down to zero. 14 inches, we cut them by half. And so the effort continues to reduce the let's say the 16 inches and below. That's why we have a strong effect on mix.
Okay, and that trend should be maintained in the coming quarters. There is no reason that you would change your strategy in that respect. Is that correct?
No reason to change it.
That's super. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
The next question is from Austin Earle with Marshall Wace. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, everyone. I just have one question remaining, which is in terms of the price increase, which you said started in April, has that been implemented across the whole range of products? And if not, would you therefore expect a stronger effect of pricing in the fourth quarter?
No, we saw a better effect on third quarter that will continue on fourth quarter. So that is the price mix. The first quarter was negative, an improvement in second, full effect third and fourth.
Great, thank you very much.
Thank you.
The next question is from Rohit Agarwal with Sloan Robinson. Please go ahead.
Hi, I just had one question on startup costs. You've broken them out for the 9 months, so you've given an EBITDA of 866 million, excluding startup costs. I just wondered if the H1 number of 546 million of EBITDA included startup costs or was net of that. Just wondering if it's like for like.
Sorry, 546 million.
That was the adjusted EBITDA that you reported for the H1 2017 results. At these results, you've given two EBITDA numbers, 866 and 836, and they're just adjusting for startup costs. So I just wondered, should I be comparing the 546 of H1 to 866 or to 836?
Now you have to compare 865 with 801. The 9 months. So last year there were no startup costs. This year we have 30 and something in the three quarter. That will be 50 year end. 39 million in the first three quarters, and it will become 50 full year. Last year was zero startup cost.
Okay, so I'll just ask the question a bit differently. Should I just pro rata that 39 million of costs this year per quarter? So just divide it by three to roughly get an idea of how much it is per quarter?
12 million in the third quarter, 11 million in the last quarter.
Much.
The next question is from Lello Della Ragione with Intermonte. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for taking my question. I have actually two left. One again on pricing. You mentioned the breakdown that was very helpful, thank you, on the price mix. So assuming that 5% coming from mix, going back on the price, the increase wasn't that high, and I didn't get if you answered completely the question before. If you implemented increasing price on all over the product, so on the high value and the standard one, and if you expect a stronger, so an acceleration in the fourth quarter, especially coming from price at this point, since you started this just in the second quarter. And the second question is on again startup costs. You gave the indication for this year and next year. I was wondering if you can give us a split mostly to the cost related, I mean, even roughly, to the one related to China versus Vail or Cyber, and if we have to assume that all these will be cash in the same year. Thank you.
So cost, let's say, 15 million is around 15 million to China reshaping. Cost 14 million is digital, around 4 or 5 million is Velo, and 11 million roughly is the cyber is 11. Then the price will continue for the last quarter, 2.5. We expect to have more or less the same price increase.
If I can add one on price, one of your competitors mentioned lately that they have some 10% premium against you in the in your so-called high-value segment, and I was wondering if this is related to different pricing strategy, or is it related to the fact that you still have to implement some price increase compared to them. I was wondering if it's strategic or just a question of timing. Thank you.
On products, so in the very high end, we don't have differences. In regions like United States, where we are building our capacity and our network, where we have a lower market share, we have a difference, and that is right, the evaluation that has been made. So we have to split between regions and different categories of product lines. That's an opportunity we have, and we are catching up.
Beautiful. Thank you.
The next question is from Alessandro Tortora with Mediobanca. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi, good evening to everybody. I have two questions, if I may. The first one is, sorry, just to come back to the non-recurring item and restructuring cost, because compared to the first half results, I saw basically a lower amount of cost here from the around 46 million I saw in the first half. So just to understand better, what is the trend here in the third quarter, the implied third quarter? And then if you can, just repeat the indication of the additional cost that we have. I heard around 70 million from IPO cost, but also some other costs that we may see in the last quarter. The second question is on, we expect clearly a working capital release in the last part of the year. What I would like to understand is what is generally the impact for you in terms of receivable factoring for this year. Thanks.
Sorry, starting with the last question, factoring is has a minor impact and is paid, the cost is paid over the EBIT margin. So ERN will be around 300 million factoring. There are peaks during the year, but the total cost is in the EBIT. And in our accounts is helpful because we have a very low cost of factoring and is reducing the risk of credit that we covered. And so no major effects on this. On working capital, the last quarter, as I mentioned before, we are talking, last year was around 750 million. The effect in the last quarter related to the payments on winter season. So we have to expect something similar. No major effects. The outcome of all of this is that the net debt to EBITDA ratio will go down below three, as I mentioned before. Going to the restructuring cost, non-recurring cost, we have 26 million in third quarter. In first half, minus 46 million. Fourth quarter will be minus 110 million. This is related to IPO. We have not, so in we have not factored the 26 million in third quarter.
Okay, thanks.
The last question is from Ashik Kurian with Jefferies. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking my questions. I just got a couple left. First, I'm just trying to understand your volume growth going forward. From what you've shown on the greater than 18-inch, you've probably grown at 15%, which is higher than the 13% target over the next 4 years. Yet the group volumes have come in around 1%. I believe this is due to the faster-than-expected ram down on the standard tires. And you said this is expected to continue for the foreseeable future. So is this the target volume growth that we should expect in the coming quarters, or this is a one-off and you should expect volumes to improve drastically in the coming quarters?
No, high value, we continue the trend. We mentioned in our plan we expect a growth that is a two-digit growth. That is what we expect in this segment. The market is expected to be around 9%. We, in our plan, we have 13% growth. This year, until now, we are a bit better, and we expect by the year end to be a bit better than what was in our plan. So more than the 13%, we expect to keep a 15% growth in 18 inches and above. We see the car park continue to grow in the prestige segment at a shape that is in line with our forecast. So premium prestige are growing in line with our expectation. I have to complete the answer to the previous question. The third quarter, we have a positive effect related to the fact that the special award has not been achieved in terms of target for the management. So there are in third quarter 26 million of positive effect on extraordinary cost.
Maybe I'll try asking
my question. Non-recurring cost.
Sorry, probably I wasn't clear. My question was more on the total group volumes growing at 1%. I totally agree that the greater than 18 inches growing at plus 15. So just wanted to confirm that at the group level, given the expected decline for standard, is the growth rate that we see at the group level, which is around 1%, is that the expected volume for total group going forward, or at least for the forthcoming quarters?
Obviously confirmed, obviously. But I think that in the first part of my answer, the second part of my answer was to the dedicated to the question that was made by your colleague before you, and I didn't complete the answer to your colleague. The first part of my answer to you was related to your question, confirming that the growth for us in the plan in the next year is 13% average high value, and the market is expected to grow 9%. This year, we see 15%, so we are better than the plan in our growth, and we see the market around 10%, so a bit better than what we planned.
Okay.
And starter reduction will continue in the same shape.
And just a quick follow-up on the price mix. I know you had 2.5% of price in the price mix. Some of the drop through to the EBIT bridge is a lot higher. I think it's almost close to 100% in third quarter. Is this the expected drop through that we should factor in on your price mix going forward?
No. When we talk about drop through of price, is obviously 100%. When we talk about mix, is around 60%.
It seems a bit higher on third quarter, but anyway, I can follow that up, but later.
Okay.
Mr. Tronchetti Provera, there are no more questions registered at this time.
So if there are no more questions, I just want to thank all of you for your attention. And we are going after the blackout period. Will come to an end. We will start our roadshow in the United States, and we'll be there starting the 12th of November. Thank you very much to everybody.